May I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Do please be seated. So this is the Feast of the Epiphany, and the word has passed into the English language, meaning a revelation, something revealed, something new, something different, a eureka moment, an epiphany. Those moments come, like all true creativity, when familiar things, things which in themselves are ordinary and familiar, come together in an unfamiliar and completely new configuration. Let me explain what I mean. In our story today, the people of Israel and those in Jerusalem would have been well used to foreigners visiting. That would not be a surprise. They'd have been used to seeing rich people pass through. Not a surprise. They would have been used to people worshipping in different ways, visiting Israel. Another ordinary thing, they would have been well used to stables and mangers and hay. They would have been used to women giving birth in very difficult circumstances. They'd have known all about shepherds, and they would have even heard tell of angels, even if they had never seen one. All of these things would have been utterly usual for them to know about. But what happens in this story is that these familiar things are brought together in a completely new configuration, and something amazing happens. Here is a revelation of something very different. I don't know when you last had an epiphany. I had one during my Christmas holiday just now, that I had over the 12 days of Christmas. Epiphanies often come when something unusual happens that take you by surprise. And I don't know when you last had something that took you by surprise, but something took me by surprise. You may well have seen and heard an awful lot about young William Brown, who's 7 years old, pupil at the school, who died so tragically at the beginning of December, and the family's deep desire to have him buried in our churchyard here. Well, we as a church did what we had to do to facilitate that, but we found that the church had been closed, churchyard had been closed for burials by the Privy Council in 1855, and only the Privy Council had the authority to allow an exception to that, to allow a specific person to be buried there. And we were told what the process would be, that the Privy Council doesn't meet when Parliament's in recession, and that they wouldn't be meeting till February when they would first consider the request, and then there would be a period of consultation, and then in March they would make their decision. And so we were expecting that the earliest date that there could be a burial, even if it was granted, would be the end of March. So, on the 29th of December, I get a phone call from the secretary to the Privy Council. Is that the Reverend Walker? I said, yes, it is. This is the secretary to the Privy Council. I nearly dropped the phone. Not my usual phone call at all. She said, King Charles has considered the petition. It was brought before him, made known to him by his private secretary yesterday, and he's decided to cut right through all of the bureaucracy and grant the petition now, so that the family can go ahead and have the funeral. It was utterly unexpected. Utterly unexpected, a complete surprise. It took me by surprise. And when you think about it, there are all sorts of things in there which were really unremarkable. Unfortunately, bereavement and grief and the loss of people to road accidents is not an unremarkable thing. Our churchyard is not an unremarkable thing. A family's grief, a family's requests. This church being host to such things is not unusual. Privy councils meet. The king makes decisions. That's not a surprise. And petitions to people in government, that happens all the time. All of these are very ordinary and unremarkable things, I'm sorry to say. And yet they were brought together in the new configuration, this particular configuration, which made something really quite remarkable happening and brought to me an epiphany, a revelation. Before we get to that, let me just say this, that when these epiphanies happen, very often they are disruptive and uncomfortable, because what epiphanies do is they disrupt the normal flow and pattern of life. That was certainly so for the actors in our Bible story. Herod, for example, was not welcoming to this disruption of his reign. What a new prince? I don't think so. What about Mary and the disruptiveness of her having to go to Bethlehem and giving birth? Difficult enough, yes, ladies, without being in a dirty old stable to do it in. Joseph could so easily have focused on the negative things. This child isn't even his. So easy. What about the shepherds? Shepherds could easily be dismissed because they were thought of as being dishonest, disreputable, because they couldn't properly observe the law because of their lifestyle. So their testimony is worthless for a start. All this stuff about angels, put that aside. What about the kings? We can't trust foreigners, can we? Or people who are so wealthy. We don't like those either. And, what's more, they don't even worship our God. All of these things could have been the focus of this epiphany, because epiphanies tend to be disruptive. And it's easy, isn't it, for us to focus on some of the negativity in our particular circumstances in this opportunity that we have to host this funeral. I know that there are some people here who are deeply disturbed by the idea of making an exception to that rule because of the particular circumstances of our graveyard. And those feelings are very deep and very real. They can overwhelm us, some of those feelings. For me, personally, it was really disruptive to my break, my Christmas break, where I relax, being interrupted by phone call after phone call and emails and all the things that had to happen after that first phone call. Driving to the Brecon Beacons, trying to get a signal, talking on the phone as I drive. Anyway, so there's that. And then all of the disruptiveness to our own particular life here as a church. People are worried about the security of the church and all these people and all the things which might happen or might not happen, and media, and what's going to happen, how many people are going to arrive, and all of that. So easy to focus on those very, very real negative things. And I'm not saying those things aren't real, because they are. Because epiphanies and revelations disrupt us. Those things are real. Just as Mary's anguish was real, the dirt was real, Joseph's questioning of the birth was real, Herod's fear was real, all of those things are real. But in the middle of these things, there's the possibility of seeing differently, a revelation, an epiphany. I wonder, when I ask you about what surprised you, when was the last time you were truly surprised, and whether something broke into your life, and whether you were tempted to look upon that disruptiveness in a negative way, because that's often where we go to, isn't it? But there is always a possibility that God is speaking in these disruptive and uncomfortable times. And of course, for the actors in our Epiphany story today, it was just simply this. Here is the birth of our shepherd and our king. a shepherd and a king who will always take care of us forever and always reign and rule with justice and righteousness and mercy. A saviour who is Christ the Lord. This is the revelation in the midst of all of that discomfort for them. For me, over these events, the revelation was this. For all that bureaucracy seems to have taken over our lives, for all that we might wonder about the motivations of people in power and government, and the efficiency of government in these days, here for me was the revelation of a man who, as our king, has immense power and influence, actually, behind the scenes, immense power and influence, who simply had compassion and mercy for another human being, for whom he felt responsible as her king. And, sorry, I get a bit emotional, but he just reached out with compassion and mercy and said, yes, the bureaucracy can go, I'm going to have compassion and mercy on you so that you can have the closure that you need in this time of your intense grief. And I don't know about you, but I find that an immensely comforting revelation, given all that's going on in governments and in government in our world today. That at the heart of our constitution is somebody who has compassion and mercy, and that kind of attitude, it's really good. It's really good. And I don't know for you, for the disruptive things that might have happened to you that might be out of the ordinary that cause you surprise, I wonder if you think about them and just set aside for the moment the disruptiveness of what has happened, what might God have been saying to you about such moments, that last time that you were surprised or discomforted by something? Because God is always revealing his love for us in all kinds of different ways. Amen.